sermon today. Look out! Oh, sorry. Look out! That's our theme for today. Look out. Usually when you say that, it means duck, something's coming. I had a very, very vivid experience with this. It was about 6 weeks ago, maybe 7 weeks ago. I left here, and I was driving away from church, and I had my two younger boys with me, and we were leaving, and I was driving. I had a 2001 Ford F-150, so I'm driving my truck, and I'm on the freeway, and I'm just 2 miles. Right? I get on the freeway right here, and I get off at exit 255 Sunset Drive. So as I'm driving my 2 miles, there's this truck in the other lane, you know, a standard truck with a dump trailer. So not like a dump truck, but a regular truck with a dumping trailer full of dirt, and it's just spraying in the air. Have you ever been behind that where it's just spraying, and I'm like, look at this guy. Look at this mess he's making. So I'm thinking I need to be worried about that. So he's spraying. So, he goes on. I get off on my exit. That exit comes up, and you stop it at James Street. There's a stoplight. I make a left. I go over the freeway, and as I'm coming up to the next stoplight, there's that truck. He's sitting there, so he's in the left lane, and I'm coming in the right lane beside him, kind of right in front of Panda Express, if you know, that's right where I am. And I notice on this dump trailer, there's one of those retractable covers. So I'm like, it literally takes you 10 seconds to pull the retractable cover over and cover your load so it doesn't spray on the freeway. So I'm judging and explaining in my truck what this guy should be doing while I pass a number of stopped cars. But I'm continuing to judge and explain while I proceed through the red light. And all of a sudden, look out, it's too late. And I crashed into this guy in the intersection, caught him right behind the back wheel. He spun around. It jammed my front of my car right down into the front wheel. I mean, it just happened like that. It was just so quick. It, panicked the boys. I was able to drive it out of the intersection. This is loud, like, brrr, as it was shredding the front tire. And got in. I parked in front of the Verizon phone store there. So I'm there. He's able to limp over to Lowe's, and we walked to the middle, and he wasn't hurt, and I wasn't hurt, and he said, well, my car has 300,000 miles, so I wanted a new one anyway. So he was kind of happy about it. But you just never know what's coming, right? I had no idea when I left here that day that I was going to crash my truck because I had to judge some other guy's non-tarping, But you just never know what's coming, right? And then it's set in motion. I got to get a different vehicle and all this. And shopping for a car is not as fun as you think. So it's kind of a hassle. But we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's on the horizon. We don't know what we're looking for. Just think of February. Doesn't that seem like 10 years ago, February? Yeah, it was a very different world in February. And now who knew COVID was coming? You don't know what's coming. You don't know when that next time comes and the doctor says, I got bad news from your blood results. You don't know that, right? You don't know when you get that phone call, hey, so-and-so just passed, right? You don't know what's coming. And so today we're going to talk about looking out, but not look out in the sense of duck, like I kind of scared you at the beginning. I want us to think today about looking out, not being terrified of what's coming around the corner, but looking out at what do we focus on. Where does our eyes need to go so that we can survive all the things that are coming that we don't know is coming? So here's the image I want you to have. Look out like you're looking through binoculars, right? Have you ever used binoculars? Take them to a sports game. Maybe if you're a hunter or if you're boating, you want to see what's coming. Maybe you like to keep track of your neighbors. I don't know why you have binoculars, but what they do, right, they take a full-size image, a normal image, people on a field, deer over there, and they bring it to you, right? They're not little, they're full-size whatever, people, deer, boats, but you bring them closer. So you're looking through this, and it brings that image closer, something that's far close. I want you to think about that today, looking out through binoculars, bringing something into view. We're not thinking about microscopes, right? You look through a microscope. A microscope takes something small and blows it up huge so you can examine it, right? You see that picture there. They're looking at some like microscopic piece of dust, and when you blow it up huge, it looks like a monster about to, consume your head. But in reality, it's just microscopic. So microscopes take something little and they bring it up. Binoculars take something far and bring it into view. We're thinking about binoculars today. Looking out, looking to something beyond your situation, bringing it into view. Not blowing up something that's close, bringing something into view. So today, in the midst of trials, unexpected things that we're facing, that you're going to face in life, I want us to look out. I want us to look out through binoculars and bring the truths of God into view, right? I don't want us to put our problems on a microscope and blow them up huge and they're overwhelming. We want to look out to God and bring his truths close. So that's the imagery for today. We're in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me read it, and this is a short one, so I'll be able to read it, pray, and read it again real fast. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want this truth to be applied to our life. Speak to us as individuals in this moment, we ask. Let us be able to apply and put it into practice, looking out to you, to the things you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So here's the first one, look out, the first look out. Look out, rejoicing in Christ's victory. That's the first thing, Christ's victory that's out there that we want to bring into our focus. Rejoicing in Christ's victory comes from verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice means to be glad. It's like celebrating a victory, right? You're constantly like, we won, we're won. This will forever be lodged in my mind. This is the Seahawks victory parade. Did you go to that, Eric? Eric went to it. So there was like a million people packing downtown Seattle because we finally won the Super Bowl. I still rejoice in that. It's wonderful. We won. And so that idea of a celebrating, finally, we won. There's victory. We're the champions. You're glad. You cheer. We want to look out, but not to a football victory. We want to look out to Christ's victory. So rejoicing, has that feel. You're glad, you're celebrating. And you go, but you know, life's not always a victory parade, right? That's not very realistic. And you're like, and that's a stupid game. We're talking about real things. And so what we want to do, we're not looking to football games and temporary victories. We want to look out to Christ's victory. We want this to be a constant, we can constantly celebrate that. It's something that exists, that's out there, and when we look to it through binoculars, right, it brings it into view versus looking at a problem and magnifying it. That's where we're going here. So look out to Christ's victory. What did he do that we can continually celebrate and be glad about? In one of my favorite ones is in 1 Peter Chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. This is just a way that you can look to Christ's victory. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again." You become a new person. "To a living hope." You know, your expectation of future doesn't die. "To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He's defeated death. "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Your inheritance is there. It can't go away, can't fade, can't wear out. Verse 5, "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." So not only is your salvation guarded, you are guarded by God. And verse 6, "In this you rejoice." He's won the victory. He's made me new. He's protecting my salvation. He's protecting me. And then he says, "Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." And he goes on to talk about the testing of our faith. But when we're facing this life and we're battling all the things that come, and we want to look out that Christ has already defeated death. He's already defeated the grave. Your salvation is there. It's guarded. It's protected. God's protecting you. And that's where you rejoice. Even though, for a while, He faced trials. Let me show you another one that we're looking to, Christ's victory. This is in Isaiah 65. This is going to blow your mind. It blew my mind. This is God talking. He says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." Right? He says, "I'm going to do something completely new. And the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." When you are in the new heaven and the earth with Jesus, you're not even going to remember coronavirus. It's not going to come up. You're not going to care because you're in the new heaven and the new earth and there's no diseases there. It's not even going to come up. You're not going to care that you crashed your truck. You're not going to care that if you died from cancer. You don't care. It doesn't even come up. It doesn't even come to mind. It's over, right? He's making something new. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. We're going to forever rejoice in his creation, the new one, right? "For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be gladness." And that's what you see in Revelation. It says the holy city, New Jerusalem, is going to come down. And we're going to rejoice in that. We're in the new city and it can't be invaded and it can't break down and no one gets sick and no one dies. We don't even think about it. It doesn't even come to mind, the struggles on this earth. Now, this next verse, watch the story flip. Who's speaking here? Pay attention to who's speaking. "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem." Who's the speaker? God is the speaker here. "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress." God is the speaker, and he says, not only should you rejoice in what I'm doing, I'm going to rejoice in it. He's going to look at the new heavens and look, this is amazing. And this one, there's no sin and no evil and nothing's going to corrupt it. I'm rejoicing in that one. Come on, right? He's rejoicing. So you rejoice. The old stuff doesn't even come up. So we want to look out rejoicing in his victory. Take that thing right now that could feel far away to you. It could feel real distant. But when we look at it, it draws it into our view like binoculars bring something close. And so then suddenly our problems aren't our problems. If we have problems and we're fixated on them, we're focusing on them, it's like a microscope and they get bigger and they get bigger and they get bigger and worse. No, you need to look out to Christ's victory. He's defeated the grave. He's protecting your salvation. Nothing can take it away. And he's going to make something so great that he's going to rejoice. God's going to be like, yeah, I just did that. And isn't that amazing? Wow. And the old stuff doesn't even come up. You won't even think about it. It won't matter. That's a focus for us. That's our focus. Rejoice in his victory. Bring that into view. That's what he says, rejoice always. So that's the first point of our looking. The second one is look out, constantly talking to God. Constantly talking to God. You see that in verse 17. He says, pray without ceasing. That means asking. Pray means to ask, to request, to express. But he knows, it says without ceasing, never stop. I don't know if you're like me, but there's like a constant dialogue in my own mind. I'm thinking this, noticing that, wondering about this, observing this. Sometimes it gets me into trouble, like why didn't that guy tarp his load? So I need to turn that part off. But what if you just bring God into the conversation? So instead of talking to yourself constantly, you're just talking to God. Just like you're on a road trip and there's someone in the passenger seat. Hey, did you see that? And what's going on? And this is what's happening at work. So instead of just thinking it all, we're constantly talking to God. And this is when you pray with your eyes open, like when you're driving, okay? Pray with your eyes open. But it's this idea that God is right there and you can constantly talk to him. We do it when you're going into a test. Lord, please help me to remember. Please help me to remember. Help me to remember. But you just take that with you. Help me at work today. Help me in this next meeting. Help me in this next conversation. Help me in this next class. Help me get across town. Help me when I call so-and-so. Or you're explaining, God, I'm really worried about this. This is on my mind. You're just bringing him into the conversation. Because the reality is God is right there. This is in John 14. And this is Jesus promising that. John 14, 16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's not going to leave us alone. Verse 19, yea, in a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We are not alone. We're not by ourselves. You're not abandoned. It's not just that he's sitting next to you on the seat. He's saying, I'm in you. The Spirit of Jesus is in you, sent from the Father and the Son to be in you. So we want to be talking to him all the time. Constantly praying, communicating, dialoguing, sharing, thinking. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What amazing promise. All right, we have all this stuff going on in our life. Many things are very challenged right now. And he says, look out and just talk to me about it. Constantly pray. I am right here. I'm experiencing every moment with you. Talk to me. Bring me in. Ask me. Request. And instead of holding it in and bottling it up, share. He's right there with us. We want to constantly be talking to him. All right, number three, look out. Giving thanks in everything. Giving thanks in everything. We see that in verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all things. Thanks means to express gratitude for benefits or blessings. I think this might be one of the most important ones that we're constantly thanking, because it reminds us that, hey, God has done many things in our life, and you're taking things he's done in the past and bringing it back into view, right? We're looking out, giving thanks, bringing, oh yeah, he did that, and he answered that prayer, and he came through in that time. In Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bring them into view. If you think, I got nothing, I'm hurting, you always can go to that cross. He died on the cross. I don't have to die on the cross. I don't have to pay for my sins. He did it. You can always start there. And then I love to start with just simple things. Just simple things. Thank you that I'm breathing today. Thank you that my house wasn't leaking water today. Thank you that this building was here and the heater turned on today. Thank you that, you know, whatever it is. Thank you that I have food in my house. Thank you. And you just go, and all of a sudden you start going, wait, God has done all this. You're starting to remember his benefits, not forget. So we look out and we give thanks and everything. Even during the pandemic, there's things to be thankful for. We discovered a couple areas where some of my kids were struggling academically. We wouldn't have known if they didn't come home, and we see it. So we've been able to address those things. We started a neighborhood Bible study. I wouldn't have done that if I wasn't home. So there's some things that have that happened, and you think, you know what? God was working in this. There's one story that's maybe you've read some of the story of this lady named Corrie Ten Boom, who was a Christian and was in Nazi camps. She was in concentration camps, and she was challenged to give thanks for everything. Right? You're in a Nazi concentration camp, and then they were in an area that was flea infested. And they should, I had to find a way to be thankful for the fleas. Right, I've never been there where I'm finding a way to be thankful for fleas. But what they found out is the fleas were so bad that the guards wouldn't come down there. So they held all kinds of Bible studies because the guards wouldn't go down there and stop them. And they were thankful for the fleas. You're just like, whew. Like, if she can be thankful for that, I can be thankful for many, many things. So we give thanks in everything, and then it takes, instead of our immediate problem blowing it up in a microscope, we take what God has done, and we bring it into view. He's done that, and he's done that, and he's done that, and he's done that, and it just keeps going. So we want to look out, right? Not look in, look out. Not look down, look out, rejoicing, praying, thanking. Why? Why does he say that? He says it in the end of verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The will, it means his wish, his desire, That word means that. God desires us to do that. Why? Because he wants to force his way? I think because he knows it's the only way through. I think he knows you're not going to make it through the trials of this life if you're not rejoicing, praying, thanking, all these. Like, this is my will, this is my desire for you so that you can make it. And he gives us this very powerful, simple tool to do it. But notice he says it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's this, it centers on what Christ has done. And so I want to show you in Hebrews chapter 12 that not only does Christ do this and model it for us, it gives us the focus to look out to him. It's the will of God in Christ because Christ was looking out. So in Hebrews 12, you see this in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 11 is all about these people have been faithful over the years. So he says, we're surrounded by all these saints of old who've trusted God. So let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Remember, things up close. This is bogging me down, this weight, this fear. Let's get that out of the way. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. Keep going when it's hard. Keep going with it's hard. And look, verse 2, looking to Jesus, right? Look out to Jesus. Not down at the problem, out to Jesus. He's the founder and perfecter of our faith. It all starts with him. Now notice this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Did you see that? He was looking out. Who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus was actually looking to something beyond the cross, looking out. He endured it. He despised the shame. He was stripped and beaten and nailed to a cross, and he bore the wrath of God for our sins. And he said, but he wasn't even looking at that. He was looking beyond it to the joy. Probably that same joy we read about in Isaiah 65, when I created new heaven and new earth, and none of this matters. To the joy of my family will be there, and sin won't be there, and the enemy won't be messing it up anymore. So he already had that in view. So Jesus is on the cross looking to the joy. And so the writer says, so you look to him who was on the cross looking to the joy. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, so consider him. Keep him in view. Look to him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We want to keep Jesus in view. Look to him. Look to him. He was looking to the joy of bringing you home, and we look to him to get through it. It's in Christ Jesus. So that's our focus today. Look out. I like that, looking out that mountain vista. We're going towards the Lord, and we're looking at the cross, and we're looking at what's coming. We're rejoicing in Christ's victory. He's already won. He already has planned the new heaven and new earth. He can already see it. We can't see it yet, but he can already see it. We're constantly talking to God. You're not alone. You're not alone. And we're giving thanks in everything. We're giving thanks in everything. So I'd encourage you to make that a focus. Look out. Maybe there's an area. What is God saying to you? Is there an area there? Maybe one of those is touching on. Maybe an area of thanksgiving or remembering he's with you. Maybe it's to look to his victory. Maybe it's to toss out the microscope. Maybe you've just been hyper-focused on problems and you need to just toss that thing out and look out, not down. What does he want you to do? What does he want you to do? What's he telling you? And who does he want you to share this with? Is there someone that's hurting, someone that's down, someone that needs this? Would you do that? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to look to you. I can't believe that on the cross you weren't looking at how horrible this was, and you were looking to the joy. You were looking to, you said, it's finished. You did the work. Or you endured what we couldn't endure so that we could be with you. We could be in that new heaven and new earth. And all this stuff we live through doesn't even come up. It doesn't even come to our mind. We don't even think about it. We look for it. Help us to do it, Lord. It's so easy for the things immediately in front of us to overwhelm us, to bury us. And there's hard things. Would we keep our eyes on you? Would you encourage, Lord, encourage us right now? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand and sing this song together where we do put our, this singing looks us out to Jesus.